Welcome to Creating Abundance with Alana Cahoon, sharing inspirational stories from experts around the world. Tap into your inner wisdom at alanacahoon.com. It is my delight to introduce our guest, Deborah Wood, your Next Step Coach, Certified John Maxwell Team Executive Director. Deborah believes that confidence is your belief in your ability to figure things out, but sometimes we all need a little help. She focuses on entrepreneurial endeavors, sharing the milestones and pitfalls of running your own business. Deborah has been an entrepreneur for a number of years, started out teaching. She coaches entrepreneurs how to increase sales, and we all want that. She's inspiring, and she inspires everyone to keep going, saying it is never too late. So let's big round of applause for Deborah Wood. Welcome to have you here.
Good morning.
Hi.
Good morning, Alana. Glad to be here.
Awesome. So you're in Texas, is that right?
I am in Texas. I live in a small town about 25 miles southeast of Texas, of Dallas. Of Dallas.
I love it. I just think it's so much fun to be able to communicate with people all over the world, you know, and just to know that we're all experiencing similar situations, right? Weren't we just talking about the idea of overwhelm, how many of us are experiencing overwhelm? Like, it's so hard to keep things straight.
It is. You know, it's interesting that we all know, we all say, you know, life is short. We're not promised tomorrow. So today I'm going to, or tomorrow I'm going to do this, this, and this. And then the day gets away from us and the time is gone. And time is just such a precious commodity. And so we never get it back. And so it's a mindset thing that we all get to do in this entrepreneurial journey.
I love it. So you're what I would call a serial entrepreneur. Share with us your journey. How did you get started, and how did you move into the position of being this incredible coach and speaker today?
You're so sweet. Thank you again for having me. I'm glad to be a part of this great group. And ooh, everybody gets so juicy on a given day, given their nuggets. So thank you for having me today. You know, Alana, my journey starts back. I am a trained teacher, and my teacher blood runs very deep. And at one point in time during my third or fourth year of teaching, a group of ladies in the next town had developed a curriculum. It was a reading curriculum, and I was teaching remedial reading as well. And we joined up together, and we decided that we could sell some books. We had written some books, and we decided we could sell them. What's interesting about that is none of us had formal business training. None of us had gone to school to be business entrepreneurs. We were teachers. But we knew that what we had helped children learn how to read. We were passionate about what we did and what we were creating because we saw results. And that's part of the people that are listening today. They're entrepreneurs. They're passionate. And entrepreneurs, sometimes I call it the entrepreneur of life. You know, you don't have to be in business. You're the entrepreneur of your life. And so you're passionate about what you're doing, and you just want to get the word out there. Well, that's what we did. And so we went to a local trade show, a little teacher conference, and we started selling books. 20 years later, it was, you know, created a multi-million dollar business, but we never lost that passion for helping children learn to read. That was what it was all about every single day. If we could help a child learn how to read more successfully, better, easier, whatever the words are, we knew we had done our deal. So that's what started. 20 years of entrepreneurship. We had a great time. I left that business about, I guess it's been 15 or 16 years ago now. And real quick, fast forward, I call them chapters of life. So my second chapter of life, I had used promotional products. That was interesting. I'd always had something to give away at a trade show, give away if I called on an account. We called on schools and retail stores. So I thought, I'll try that. So the second business, Paper Sack Promotionals, was birthed after I left that first business. And so I helped people increase their sales by using promotional products. And we have a great time doing that. And I still do that today. So that's so fun. But then, yeah, I mean, it kind of crept on. Business three, one of my oldest daughters, we have a franchise called Teams of Tomorrow. Yeah. And she said, Mom, we need to do that. And I'm like, guys, I'm really good. I'd left a business for 20 years. I'd started another business. But she said, we need to do this. And so Teams of Tomorrow is an early childhood program where we go into child care centers. It's music, movement, ball handling. So it gets me that early childhood fix that I left after that long. And so I have teachers who go into child care centers. And then where I am now in this chapter and how I met you was my speaking, training, and coaching. And Alana, that is the one that has been, you know, I say I love every chapter, and I love every chapter I've walked through. But I'm going to tell you now, more than ever before, just being able to pour into entrepreneurs who are passionate about what they're doing. It's where mine started. And so I coach entrepreneurs on how to increase their sales, how to, you know, do the thing, not give up. And that's what we kind of talked about, the milestones and pitfalls. And it's really been all about sharing my journey, you know, just being an open book to say, guys, let's try this. Let's do this. I tried this before, but it's being open as well to opportunities and possibilities, because that's where it's really at as an entrepreneur. So all that in a nutshell is over 35 years experience. It's crazy, but I still can go back and love every chapter, every moment of the times that I've experienced.
I love it. Thank you so much. So first I want to say thank you for stepping into that passion and creating programs to support children who have challenges reading. That's so, so important. So that, would you say then that that was your life purpose at that time?
You know, it was, and it is, it still is, even is today. It's very interesting that I've got a grandbaby now that's 2 years old, and I, you know, probably 6 months ago picked up those books that we wrote 30 something years ago and implementing it with her now. And that's one of her favorite things to do. And, you know, Alana, I remember saying, if you can't read, and I want everybody to stop and think about it for just a second. If you can't read, it makes everything else more difficult. And that was really just our, you know, we stood on that foundation that if we could make reading easier for children, then we were going to, you know, it was a purpose in life. And so I can say, yeah, that when we talk about legacies and where I am in life, I'm like, oh my goodness. Yeah. I turned 60 a couple of years ago, and that was a new experience as well. But when we talk about leaving a legacy, and we are all doing that, we're all building that, that's will definitely be part of my legacy.
Beautiful. That's just beautiful. And you mentioned entrepreneurship is about opportunity and possibility. Can you tell us a little bit more what that means to you and how it relates to entrepreneurship?
Well, it really does. And in talking about the milestones and the pitfalls, if you will keep a mindset of opportunity and possibility, I'm always open, because so many times in entrepreneurship, we think we're going to get it all fixed. I mean, surely one day I will have every spreadsheet, every customer, every product, every, you know, accounts payable, account, all of those things, we'll have them all done and fixed up, and we'll tie it with a big red bow. And then we'll just get to sit and just reap the rewards. And I'm going to tell you, entrepreneurship, I often say it's not for the faint of heart. It is someone that's continually growing and moving and accepting the milestones and celebrating. But then when you go to those valleys, it's like, what's next? How am I going to do that next? And so when you keep the mindset of opportunity and possibility, no matter, I don't stay inside my box. And it's not for everybody. I've had people that I've hired, and they're like, I'm like, why don't you do that? Why don't you start that business? And they're like, oh, no, 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 no. The people that work at the bank, I laugh, because they're like, no, no, no. I like to go to work at this time. I had a lady one time and come home at this time, and I like to do my job, and that's all. And I'm like, oh, okay. I don't get that. But okay, we're glad, aren't we glad that we're all made differently? But when, as an entrepreneur, when you are always open, just like we meant, always open to opportunities and possibilities. I'm going to tell you, when you adopt that mindset, the sky is absolutely the limit. Now, are you, is it going to be a rough road sometimes? Absolutely. But when you always have it, you know, what's the next opportunity? I was on a coaching call this morning, and one of my ladies had a lady who's been with her for 3 years. She's fed sales into her. She's promoted her business. You know, she's just, everybody needs a Sharon is what we was said this morning. I said, but the interesting part is you never know who your next Sharon is going to be. You never know who your next cheerleader is going to be. You never know who your next great customer, great friend. And so I just believe being open to opportunities and possibilities is one of the magical keys of entrepreneurship.
That's brilliant. And so everyone take that, write those two words down, opportunities and possibilities, because they are endless. This reminds me about, I just got one of Sharon Lecter's books that says it's called 3 Feet from Gold. And it's saying sometimes as an entrepreneur, it may feel like a struggle, your journey to get to that next level of your
Yeah.
business or even to break through, but it might only be 3 feet. So, and not to give up and to know and to be aware of opportunities. So I teach meditation, mindfulness, emotional intelligence, and for me and the way I like to support entrepreneurs is to be aware of the opportunities so that they're not missed. And
Yes.
that awareness is about being in the present moment, you know. So we were introduced online, and amongst, you know, 100, 200 emails, right? But
Most definitely.
here we are, and we still connected. So I think that's important, is to be open and aware when the opportunities present themselves, and then pursue them, because if you don't, someone else will.
I love that. I love the way you said that because it is so true. I usually share the story of in our first business, guys, we didn't have the internet. There, I remember we had no internet. We were dialing, mailing things, and going to trade shows. And that was our marketing strategy at that point in time. We had nothing else. And I remember the first time my computer guy came in and said, "Listen, you're going to get an email." And I was like, "Oh, what?" He said, "An email address." And I said, "How am I going to remember everybody's email address?" He says, "Well, you remember phone numbers." I'm like, "I don't know how that's going to work." But then it started, you know, having a digital presence. And now what? There's, I think, 5.44 billion people on the internet. But I share that story with everyone today because if I had, as an entrepreneur, stayed in my box, and I definitely had something that was working. I mean, definitely what we were doing was working. We were creating sales, we had business. But if I had stayed in the box and not been open to opportunities and possibilities, then we wouldn't be here today. I would still be in my box saying, "No, that's the what my strategy, that's what I'm doing." And that's where, just like you said, being aware and then acting upon it. Yeah, we could have both emailed back and forth and back and forth, but something about it, we said, "Oh, wait, I want to connect with one. We're gonna hit that, we're gonna hit that button. We're gonna reschedule our time together." Yeah, there's something about it. I remember her name. And when you act upon those things, when you're really listening in tune with that subconscious voice of taking action as an entrepreneur, sometimes when we don't even know. And that's where, I mean, sometimes I do things, I'm like, "Okay, let's try it." Open to opportunities and possibilities. You never know who your next Sharon's going to be. That's going to be my new one. This morning, I'm like, I love that. But you don't. I say that, you know, I'm always willing to meet and open, you know, meet people, visit with people, but you never know where that next sale, that next friend is going to come from. It's amazing.
So I got a couple of questions, but one is about your first business. I love the purpose, the passion. What was it like to go into business with a group of people? Were there any challenges? And if so, how did you manage those?
Yeah, that's a great question because it really, I did have business partners. There we in fact we started out, there were five of us all together. And if you can only imagine five of us going to a trade show, five of us in a little 10 by 10 booth, all wearing the same thing. I'll think back now thinking, oh, people must have thought we were crazy. But we were gonna be there together. And so then, before too long, one had dropped off, but we had several years with four. And so there are challenges in that because we're all different. We all learn differently. We all act differently. We all do things. But for us, we really all had a talent. And so again, I'm a person of faith, and the Lord blessed us in that time, I guess. Not I guess, He did. But we had one that was the artist. And so she could draw pictures and she could illustrate the books. And that was really her zone of genius. We had one that was really good with numbers and details. And so she did the financials, and that was her role. I was the sales and marketing person. That's just, they teased me that I wasn't scared to talk to anybody and ask anything. And so that became my lane. And then the other one was organizational. So she did our warehouse work and, oversaw that of keeping everything in check. So we all really played to our strengths. But then I think the secret behind it, Alana, was that we trusted one another, that we absolutely, I didn't get into the drawing space because I knew that wasn't my jam. And
Right.
that the illustrator, she really, after those first trade shows, she never went to a trade show because it would hurt her feelings if somebody didn't like her artwork or something about it. She's like, y'all take care of that. And so we all took care of our individual areas, but then the secret sauce was we trusted one another. Now, when you say, were there hard times? Absolutely. I'll never forget the first time I said, Amy, we got to have the same font. We got to be consistent. We're doing a catalog and we cannot have, 54 different fonts inside that catalog. Everything's got to be the same size. And that was a struggle for her. And so there were moments like that that we got to figure out how it all worked. But obviously it did because we had 20 years of that. But if you let me lead on to that, now I'm in the world of solo, I'm a solopreneur. I'm an entrepreneur by myself. I make all the decisions. And I'm going to tell you that that's been challenging, because you're by yourself. Your limiting beliefs can come on in a given day. You can push whatever, I'm going to send that email today. And then you think, oh, nobody knows I'm going to send it or not, really. And so I'm going to tell you, I believe the struggles have been more real and more challenging being a solo entrepreneur than it was having business partners.
Interesting. I love that you're sharing that. And one note I want to make sure that everyone catches who's listening to this of Deborah's story with a partnership with four, five people, one person dropped off. Everyone had their own role. And if you want to go into business together, that is so important. I have seen people butting heads. You, the only, you shared the font size. That was a specific project. But if you've got two people who have the same skill set who want to do the same thing, that can be very challenging unless you have different projects and one person is focusing on, the two separate projects. So that's really great. And then trust. Now, in any relationship, in it's trust, or and that could be faith. It could be a shared faith. It could be, just creating that bond of trust with each other, knowing that someone's responsible. They're going to show up. They're going to do their work. They're going to show up and do their work, and they have the same passion that you do. So that's amazing. And then I just want to move over, just like you said, into the coaching world. I always have a coach. Now I'm a coach. I've been a coach for over a decade. I always have at least one coach. I'll have my business coach. I might have my author coach. I might have my holistic coach, because I'm a solopreneur as well. And running a business by yourself, you think, oh, I'm going to have all this free time. This is my business. I can do what I want. You might end up working around the clock and feeling like a hamster on a hamster wheel. So yeah, tell us more about your coaching and do you have your own coach? How do you find, how are your clients benefiting from your coaching? Like sales, we all want to know how to sell. How do you do it?
It's really great. And I'm going to say also with my business partners, it gave accountability. And that was to me where we move into when we're solo entrepreneurs, where those coaches you just alluded to. Yes, I have coaches. Every good coach has coaches because of that fact, I believe. It's accountability that really that takes you and drives you in to say, okay, oh, I said I was going to do that. And somebody is expecting me and waiting on me to be able to do that. So, my coaches. So I've got a business coach. I've got a retreat coach. We do retreats, and so I've got a retreat coach that she helps me with that as well. I've got one that's just she's really my personal coach, because again, as a solo entrepreneur, so many times, I don't know about y'all, but on a given day that you've worked so hard on something all by yourself, and then somebody rains on your parade a little bit, or says no, or doesn't call you back, or ghosts you. If you're not careful, that could really zap you for a day. And so I've got one that's, my Voxer buddy that I go, okay, this is what's going on today. And she lifts me up on that. So every good coach has coaches. For me, where my jam really goes into is sales, because I've been sales and marketing just almost all of my life. And I find what I really love so much today, people say, you need to do this. I mean, we've all heard them, right? Just do this. Just do this. Just read this PDF. Just take this template. And there are lots of great ideas out there. I mean, I talked about before it was trade shows, and now we've got the internet. We can Google on any given day. But where I find entrepreneurs really struggle is finding the marketing strategies, the things that work for them. And so that's where I come into and play to say, nobody is lacking for sales strategies, marketing strategies, how to do more business. It's at our fingertips. But where we are needing support and guidance is finding what works for you, finding what's fun for you. I talk about promotional products, and I say, people say, oh, it's just a pen, or it's just a ruler, or it's just a t-shirt. I'm going, yes, it is. But I'm going to tell you, when we find the right item or the right strategy for you, the energy that goes behind that and with it, it compounds to where again, the sky can be the limit. That's where, to me, people are lacking right now. I'm just adopting what everybody else is doing, which is great, but you've got to put your own spin on it. And I say, and I do a challenge, I say, you've got to Alanaize it. You've got to Deborahize it. You've got to Shirleyize it. You've got to make it your own. And also oftentimes when it's a solo entrepreneur, we get into that. I'm not sure it's working. I'm not sure if this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And so that's where I come in and really lend a helping hand.
That's awesome. I love it. And it's so true. And so you're talking about your promotional business. And I remembered the days of trade shows and having the, the squeezy balls and the pens with your company name on it. And and so that is important because people are holding them. Don't you have a retreat coming up? Is that what's happening? Did I hear that? Are you giving a retreat
I,
yourself?
well, we do. We just finished we just finished in August. And so we are waiting for now, just after you finish something, you're like, we're waiting for now the next date. And so we are. It's the name of the retreat is Be Still and Know. And I love the way you talked about that, the people you work with are the people that run hard, they run long, they run fast. And entrepreneurs like myself, we have trouble giving to ourselves. We really, it's hard. It's a challenge when you alluded to it. When you're a solo entrepreneur, you're like, okay, that's nobody's going to get that done until I get it done tonight. And so when you're running on that kind of hamster wheel on certain days, I just feel like there's a place that you can go with and have great connections and just be able to pour into your soul. Because how many times have we heard you cannot give what you do not have? And if your soul is empty, your spirit is empty, then it's going to be hard, especially as coaches, but as entrepreneurs in general, it's going to be hard to give to the next person.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Beautifully said. How can people find you?
Yeah. Well, there are lots of ways. We got the internet, lots of ways. And so I'm on Facebook, Deborah D. Wood. And as well as I've got a Facebook group that we've been building, Successful Solo Entrepreneurs. I've got a LinkedIn account. Everything is under Deborah D. Wood. And so I'm sure we're going to have the link somewhere as we end up today. But all of the social media platforms, I'm there under Deborah D. Wood. And I'd love to connect with you more.
That's fabulous. That's wonderful. So it's DeBraDWood.com.
You got
so
it.
That's she's got a very powerful website presence and on social media. Terrific, amazing background in entrepreneurship, specifically sales for entrepreneurs. And so many of you today, I know, are entrepreneurs, or you know entrepreneurs, or you know, sometimes even entrepreneurship, like you mentioned earlier, it's just being the entrepreneur of your life, right? I call myself the CEO of my life.
You are. I think some people forget that you have to lead yourself first on a given day before you lead anybody else. And so the entrepreneur of your life is one of the most important roles you'll play.
Yeah. In the short time we have, do you have any tips for people, for entrepreneurs or anyone who do find themselves in a pitfall? Maybe they launched a product and it failed. You know, in my world or experience of entrepreneurship, there's no such thing as failing. And if you fail, that's just a lesson, you know? So how would you help someone lead, guide someone through a challenge like that?
Yeah, really great question. You know, the first thing that comes to mind is so oftentimes entrepreneurs will say, I've got a product or I've got this, and that they're just say, I'm going to do it. You know, I'm going to, oh, what the heck, go for it anyway, which is great. But so oftentimes, you know, you've got to look at financial status and financial means before you jump into the entrepreneurial world. And so when people come to me and they've got a side hustle, is what we typically call it, they're going, I'm ready to quit my job and go for this. I'm like, okay, that's great. But, you know, life likes us to pay our bills. Life likes us. And entrepreneurship, it takes funding depending on the level where you are. So the number one thing I always say to people is if you got a side hustle, keep the side hustle. I mean, grow the side hustle until you can quit the job. You know, it's not just going to magically appear. And I think that's so oftentimes, especially with social media right now, people think, I coach a lot of people on, they think they can post one time or send one email and it's supposed to work. And you're going, I'm not sure that is exactly the way it's supposed to be. And it doesn't work that way. You know, people buy from who they like, no trust. So number one, I'm going to say, make sure you evaluate those financial means, your financial status, before you go jumping into cold turkey, the world of entrepreneurship, because it's not going to happen overnight. Now, does it happen overnight? Absolutely. There's some people that hit it big and hit it great, but typically those are small percentage. Number two, I want you to always remember people buy from who they like, know, and trust. So consider yourself planting seeds every single day. Don't fall for the pitfall of you're going to post once or email once and it's going to happen. You're planting seeds every single day. When you share your product, when you share your business, again, that's just like, I love analogies, and I'm here in Texas, so we got lots of farmers. That's just like planting the seed in the ground. Now, when we plant that seed in the ground, number three, don't use the pitfall, go past the pitfall of thinking it's just going to grow. We're going to get to water. We're going to hope for the sunshine. We're going to fertilize that seed. We're going to till the soil around that seed. And we're going to nurture that seed until Possibly. We don't know if they're going to ever buy from us, but I'm going to tell you, when we lack no trust and build that, and then we nurture that seed, the likelihood of people buying from us is so much more. So again, always, if you're starting out, think about that financial status before you take a big jump. Then number two, remember, lack no and trust. Build it every single day. So oftentimes entrepreneurs, they want to hide. They're like, I don't want to tell anybody. I just want to put it out there and people find out about it. And I'm like, you are your best salesperson. Get out there and talk about it. You've got a passion for what you're doing. Get out there and talk about it. And then number three, just go on, water it, fertilize it, let the sun shine, let the rain. It may have a storm somewhere on the way, but if you keep at it, absolutely taking action, that's what I want you to hear. Every single day around your business, it's going to come.
I love this. And so everyone, these are the wisdom, the wise words of Deborah D. Wood. As an entrepreneur, you are a farmer. You are nurturing your seeds. Your seeds are your people, your followers, your friends, your colleagues, your family.
Yes.
Know, like, know, and trust. Nurture. That term, oh, if I just put the sign out, they will come. Maybe.
Maybe, maybe.
But there's a lot more to it. And so just live it, breathe it, nurture it. So, oh, thank you so very much, Deborah. This has been such a joy. You are a delight, spreading sunshine from Texas, US, all over our community. Listeners now know how to find you. And thank you for teaching and sharing how our listeners can create abundant health, wealth, and happiness in their lives.
Most definitely. Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to come and be a part. And I can't wait to really dive into everyone else because you've got a great lineup throughout your summit time. So thank you. Thank you for being the leader of our way. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. And listeners, we will see you soon.
Thank you for listening to Creating Abundance. Be sure to like and subscribe. Stay tuned for the next podcast and get your free ebook at alanacahoon.com/ebook.